I'm Tiziana Deering. It's Memorial Day, and as we remember those who have served and died for our country, we often gather with family and friends. Maybe you're observing outdoors with good people, good music, great food. Food is our focus today, from memories.
It was always me and my mom in the kitchen preparing the steak teriyaki or just even like decorating the backyard. It was always such an event.
To summertime drinks that actually date all the way back to around the First World War.
So the Fizz is a classic, simple highball that you can enjoy summertime, on the porch, anytime.
Well, so that's the word, Lonnie. When you said earlier, porch ready, I thought, I'm not sure what that means, but this tastes like I'd sit on the porch
drink it. It tastes like vitamin D.
But first, let's buy our ingredients fresh at your local farmer's market. Here in Massachusetts, they are a critical source of business for farmers. Recently, Edith Murnane, who's the executive director of Mass Farmers Markets, Ashley Randall, who's the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources, and two farmers, David Wadley, who co-owns Kimball's Fruit Farm, and Kate Stillman of Stillman Quality Meats, all joined us in Studio 2. And they started with their first memory of visiting a farmer's market. Here's Edith.
In 1996, and it was in Waltham, Massachusetts. It was at the Waltham Farmers Market, which is still going strong today.
You really remember?
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
How about you, Ashley? Ashley Randall.
Well, I would say growing up in Western Mass, there was a plethora of farmers markets and opportunities to attend. I can't recall the first year I attended, but I know going to the farmers market with my mom was always something I enjoyed growing up and getting the first asparagus of the season.
David Wadley, how about you?
The first one I remember going to, not as, you know, like a vendor, was one up in Stowe, Vermont when I was on vacation with my grandparents. I was probably 8 or 9, probably. That's the first one I remember going to. But I started doing farmers markets at the farm when I was 15.
And then how about you, Kate Stillman?
I think my earliest memory has to be about from 1983, 84, which would put me at about 2 or 3 years old. And I was with my parents restocking corn at the Fitchburg Farmers Market. And I also have really fond memories of playing on the front lawn while my parents sold at Curtis Hall at the original JP Farmers Market when I was just a runt. So
I love this. And Ashley Randall, you're the commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources. I'm going to turn back to you. This runs deep, right? Nobody said last year when I stumbled across it on the highway. Do we have a sense roughly how many farmers markets there are in Massachusetts these days? I'll keep it loose for you.
Yes. So there are over 200 summer and fall farmers markets and over 50 winter farmers markets. And as you said, they really are a part of our agricultural heritage and our community and the fabric of Massachusetts agriculture as a way to provide a source of local, fresh, healthy foods to consumers.
So Edith Murnane, you manage 3. In the sort of the greater Boston region. I think a lot of people think of, you know, fruit, vegetable, maybe some jams or bread. What should one expect from a farmer's market in general today?
Vibrant farmers markets have a wonderful selection of produce farmers that provide different price points and different kinds of produce, organic versus conventional versus conscientiously grown, as well as meat, eggs, fish, as well as products, value-added products.
When you say boards, value-added, I might think of a jam or a pie, or is that right?
Or a salsa, fabulous salsa that uses local tomatoes and peppers and onions. Or we have a pasta maker who grows their own tomatoes and onions and herbs that become part of their ravioli. So it's really about using the agricultural products in any number of ways, and that's what you traditionally find.
So David Wadley, Kate Stillman, let's take a minute now to get to know a couple of the farms that we might meet at a farmer's market. David, I'll have you go first. Kimball's Fruit Farm, tell us a little bit about the farm.
Well, we are right on the border of Massachusetts and New Hampshire, but we've been doing farmers markets in the Boston area I think since almost before I was alive, and I'm 34 right now. So we've had a pretty rich history coming down to Boston. It started as a wholesale apple business in the 60s, but then, you know, as we started doing farmers markets, we diversified a lot. So now we're mostly well known for our apples, our heirloom tomatoes, our peaches and our corn. But I mean, I don't think we have enough time in the program to talk about all the different stuff we grow. Every year when I order the seeds, they come in and I say, where am I going to put all these seeds? Why did I get so many different things? And I've worked here since I was 15. My predecessors are ready to retire, and my wife and I purchased it from them last year. So we're really excited to start our second year as owners and my 19th year, I guess, working here.
So, Kate Stillman, I'll turn to you. Stillman Quality Meats, woman-owned, pasture-based livestock farm. It's been a bit of a phenomenon for you to be this woman-owned farm. Tell us a little bit more about it.
So I own Stillman Quality Meats. We are located in Hardwick, Mass. And for folks who are listening, Hardwick is just on the east side of the Quabbin Reservoir, which is where most of my Boston customers actually get their water from. And I started the business probably going about 18 years ago. And shortly after I had my first child, he's now 14, we started running into all these processing problems and woes with getting our grass-fed meats processed and packaged. So I took the huge leap to build our own on-farm processing. And so we're kind of unique in a situation where a really small farm, everything we sell to the public, we produce on our farm, and we do all the processing and butchering on our farm. And farmers markets to this day serve as the primary pipeline for how we distribute and sell our products. I bought the farm and I sort of instantaneously had a customer base, but my farming roots go back a long way. And I was actually intimately involved with my parents' fruit and vegetable farm for 20 plus years before I went down the road with grass-fed meat.
And I just want to hit this one more time, Kate. This processing on your farm thing, for people who don't know, that's a really big deal.
Yeah, I mean, when I got into it, I purely got into it because we had so many issues. You know, it became crystal clear after just a couple years of operating the farm that the whole farm that I was trying to build was at risk because we were basically having to go jump through giant hoops and cross over all these hurdles in other states to get our products processed just so I could have, you know, turkeys for Thanksgiving or steaks for the 4th of July or Memorial Day. So it was a big step. I would definitely say I didn't 100% know what I was getting into as I started opening doors, you know, going down this road.
All right. So that is David and Kate, who are our farmers, as we're having this conversation here on Radio Boston about farmers markets, which are big. So the USDA in a 2020 survey said that in 2020, New England farms reported over $900 million in sales through farmers markets, CSAs, farm stands. That is big business. So now I'm going to turn back to Ashley Randall, who's with the Mass Department of Agricultural Resources, and Edith Murnane, who's Executive Director of Mass Farmers Markets. And Ashley, I'll start with you. The other thing that farmers markets do is actually fill a spot in this intersection between gaps in nutrition, hunger, food resources, and our movement towards locally grown, locally sourced. And it turns out, as I understand it, farmers markets actually do a really good job of bringing those two needs together.
They do. And I will say to your earlier point that the farmers markets really are a key feature of Massachusetts agriculture and way for farmers to get their product to market and to the consumer. And we consistently rank in the top five in the nation for direct market sales.
Meaning people go straight to the farmer at the market, buy their produce, bring it home, for example.
Yes, correct. And with respect to serving as a critical food access point, we're very fortunate in Massachusetts that we have the Healthy Incentives Program. And our department works in partnership with the Department of Transitional Assistance to administer the Healthy Incentives Program, or HIP, as it's commonly referred to as, which is a way to provide customers with extra funding and to be able to stretch their SNAP benefits by providing for, say, a family of one to two individuals, $40 each month with the HIP program rather than just the $20 they may have through SNAP. So it's really a win-win-win because we're not only helping individuals with food access, it's helping the farmers. And we have over 300 farmers that participate as HIP vendors. And it's also helping the local economy and community.
So just to point out for listeners, SNAP is the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. In the past, you might have known it as food stamps. And this HIP supplemental comes from the state. And so it's a dollar-for-dollar reimbursement for up to $40 in this case for purchasing fresh goods at a farmer's market. I'll turn to you now, Edith Murnane. One might historically not have understood a farmer's market as an accessible, viable place for people who, say, live in food deserts or are having trouble accessing affordable quality nutrition to go. But we have made strides in the availability, accessibility, range of places farmer's markets are, mobile food market, farmer's markets, et cetera.
Yes. Yes, we have. And Massachusetts has really been at the forefront of this work. So Mass Farmers Markets is celebrating its 45th year. Our organization came out of this research that was done at the Massachusetts Department of Agriculture in regards to farm sustainability. And where this emerged really in the late 1970s, 78, 79, 80, was really in our urban centers. And that's where the initial push was. And so as we saw that, we also saw that we were able to then create greater access, whether it's in Boston or Worcester or Springfield or Brockton. There are all of these places that need vibrant marketplaces in order for people to have fresh food access.
So, David, I'll turn to you, David Wadley. I'm going to ask an overly simple question, but it's because I suspect that your answer will actually be fairly rich. What does the farmer's market mean to and for you as a farmer?
Yeah, that's a big question. I mean, for us at the farm, it's the highest source of revenue, you know, between our farm stand, any wholesaling we do, you know, between retail and wholesale sales, the farmers markets are and always have been our bread and butter. When my wife Amanda and I took over last year, we made the mission statement of the business that we want to be able to bring everyone into contact with fresh local produce. You get to know the people that you're selling to. And I might know that on this day, I'm in Brookline and they like apples that are yellow. And like you send more, you know, more apple varieties that are colored yellow to that market or have golden in the name. You know, I know that on Monday at Central Square, where we have a crew down there on Mondays that they love greens at that market. So I know if we're going to pick extra kale, it should be on that day. I have people that have watched me grow up and, you know, they come to the market and it's not just a transaction between a farmer and a customer trying to buy vegetables. It's two people who have known each other for a long time, who have developed a personal relationship, able to say hi to each other, able to catch up on each other's lives. And it gets to the point where you're not selling fruits and vegetables. You're dealing in the commodity of fruits and vegetables. What you're selling is quality time with people's families or quality times with their friends, or you're selling a healthy lunch that someone can pack for their kid and write a note in it when they go to school. You get to the point where you're part of the community that you're servicing as a business and as a grower and as, you know, the person working at the business. And it's just, it's really, really special to be involved in something like that. It's one thing to plant a seed and to say, oh, that's cool. That used to be a seed and now it's a cauliflower. It's a completely different thing to be able to hear how someone is cooking that cauliflower and see their face light up the next week when they tell you how good it tasted and how, you know, how much their friends enjoyed the recipe that they served to them.
So, Kate Stillman, I mean, that's hard to follow. David's really kind of given us the whole picture there. I guess then the last question to you is, what's the next dream for the farmers market in your mind?
It's a really important question. You know, that question gets discussed at my dinner table at least once a week as I ponder sort of the future of our farm. And I would like to point out, you know, I've tried a whole variety of models to sell my product. We participated at the public market at one point. We've had retail venues. We have a small, I would guess I'd call it a farm standish butcher shop store at the farm. And, you know, my saying is there ain't no season like farmers market season. And that's really about the model behind farmers markets. I mean, they're really powerful forces to pack up what the farm's got, put it on a truck, be really efficient, connect with the customers in a way you can't connect on any other model I've used for selling our food, and be done, you know, when you pack up and you come home. And it's really nice. There's a start and there's an end to it. You know, if you talk about the future in farmers markets, and I think I've had this conversation to the side with different people in this chat here, the part I'm really concerned about is we've spent 40 years building one of the most dynamic and robust farmers market systems, probably in the country. And in order for these markets to stay sustainable and stay viable, it all comes down to customers have to keep visiting these markets. So we can't just be this cutesy boutique way for people to access food. You know, I live in the heart of a farm community in the Commonwealth, and I'm floored at the quality and the amount of unbelievable local food that's available, particularly through the farmers market system. And I really can't stress enough that the future means people need to come out and shop, not just say they shop and not show up a few times a year to Instagram, you know, the gorgeous berries they bought. You got to make the commitment. And I know how tough making a commitment to local is. I just spent, before we jumped on here, 40 minutes looking for local rhubarb and to 5 or 6 different places in our region. Couldn't find any. Came home with some really nice pea tips and some cucumbers. So I get it. I know exactly how hard it is to support local, but that's the biggest part with the future of farmers markets is making sure that they're not propped up by systems and volunteers. I mean, we really need to take these to the next level of functioning like businesses.
Kate Stillman, owner of Stillman Quality Meats, David Wadley of Kimball's Fruit Farm, Edith Murnane of Mass Farmers Markets, and Ashley Randall of the Massachusetts Department of Agricultural Resources.